Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 22. So that's Galatians chapter 5. You can find Galatians after 1 and 2 Corinthians. Before I read that, I'm just going to pray for us. Father God, thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, by your spirit, please would you help us to understand your word and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's Galatians chapter 5, and I'm starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Well, here we are. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the day we celebrate that Jesus has poured out his Spirit on the church. And what an amazing day that was. What an amazing gift Jesus gave. The Holy Spirit come to live with us and in us, bringing God's presence and power. There's so much we could say about what the Holy Spirit does in us. We could look at John's Gospel and see how the Spirit convicts us of our wrong, sinful ways, how he points us to Jesus. We could look at Luke and Acts and see how the Spirit equips and empowers first Jesus and then his followers to proclaim the Gospel. We could look at Romans and see how God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How the Spirit reassures us that we really are God's children. How he prays with and for us. We could look at Corinthians and see how God gives generous gifts to his church so that we can serve each other and encourage each other. But today we're in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. It's there in verse 22. Take a look down with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a beautiful picture of what God can do in our lives. Let's think about each of them briefly. At first, there's love. God shows us his love so that our hearts are full of it. We know deep down that we are loved unconditionally, always and forever. We know this because the Spirit points us to Jesus. And we see his love for us at the cross. So our hearts are full of God's love, and then this overflows to others. We care for people. We want what's best for them. We go the extra mile to help them. It's the opposite of being selfish and greedy. Love puts others' needs first, just like the Good Samaritan did. So love makes a phone call to check in with someone who's struggling. Love listens to them pour out their heart. Love fetches their shopping. Love forgives them when they let us down. Love never gives up. Love. Would you like more love in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, there's joy. That deep, secure feeling of knowing God's blessing. Joy at what he's done for us. Joy at what he is doing for us. Joy at what he will do for us. It's more than just a feeling, more than just happiness or gladness. It's a lightheartedness that weathers the storms of life. Because of our eternal perspective. Whatever may pass, and whatever lies before me, still we can bless the Lord and know true joy. Even in darkness and suffering, it's still there, because joy looks beyond this world, beyond this life. And joy confronts our cynical culture. It's radical. It's an act of rebellion. It's the opposite of despair and fear. Sometimes the darkness just seems overwhelming. But still, our good shepherd is there, guiding, leading us. There can be joy in the Lord, even in the midst of grief. A deep and lasting joy in knowing God. And it's infectious. You know when you've been around a joy-filled person. You can see it on their face as they sing. You can see it in their eyes when they speak. You can hear it in their prayers. Joy is what happens when we know God's love that overflows into thankfulness. Joy. Would you like more joy in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Thirdly, there's peace. Peace, rest, stillness, safety, tranquility, peace with God. No longer his enemy, but his friend, his child. Hostilities ended. Sins forgiven. Relationship restored. Peace with God changes everything. I think perhaps this is one of the most powerful ways of pointing people to the difference Jesus makes. All those things we worry about, all those anxieties, work, family, money, relationships, health, all the burdens we carry around, we can hand them over to our loving Father and leave them in his powerful hands. Peace with God brings peace in the face of calamity. Peace in the face of incessant demands and pressures. Peace in the face of uncertainty and even mortality. Peace in the midst of endless bad news. Peace even in times of conflict and war. The Spirit assures us that we are God's children. And so he produces peace in us. Peace to rest in God's loving care. Peace to stop and sleep. Peace. Would you like more peace in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Next is forbearance or patience. Perhaps some of us find patience particularly hard. Love, joy, peace. Yes, they sound great. But patience. I mean, have you met my kids? Have you seen what those other drivers are like? But patience is hard. Especially if we're tired or in a rush. Well, the Spirit helps us to be patient because our God is a patient God. He bears with us in our sin and rebellion. He doesn't crush us when we go wrong and let him down. He's long-suffering, forbearance, patience. This is the supernatural ability to put up with rubbish in others. It's only possible because we know that God has put up with so much rubbish in our lives. He still cares for us, even when we're really slow to learn or to obey, or we keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Our God is full of patience, forbearance. Would you like more of that in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Then there's kindness and goodness. Let's take these two together. So much of what we see around us is unkind and bad. People riffing into each other online and in the news. People thinking the worst of others' motives and actions. Suspicious and cynical. Just think how different the media and politics would be if it was driven by kindness and goodness. Well, the Bible talks about God's loving kindness. He does good, even when we've messed him around. He does what's right, even when we've wronged him. He doesn't retaliate when we let him down. He doesn't lash out. He doesn't plot against us. He always has our best interests at heart. So when we're filled with the Spirit and his fruit, then we can show God's kindness and goodness to others. We can do good to others, even when they've harmed us. We can be kind, even if we're feeling annoyed or inconvenienced. And people notice this sort of thing. It makes a difference. It's a powerful witness to Jesus. So kindness and goodness. Would you like more kindness and goodness in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we're over halfway now. Next up is faithfulness. Being a person of integrity, a person of your word. Keeping promises and commitments, even if it's costly. It can be really hard sometimes. Sticking with a friend when they're going through a tough time. Perhaps they're even pushing people away. Keeping on in prayer, even when things seem hopeless. Most of all, sticking close to Jesus through thick and thin. When life is good and when it's rubbish. Again, we can be faithful because God is faithful. He sticks by us no matter what. He always keeps his promises. He never lets us down. We can always count on him and trust him. And the Spirit loves to point us to Jesus, the faithful one. He was faithful even as far as death. Death on the cross. Well, who knows what kind of faithfulness might be demanded of us in the days ahead. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are shamed and slandered and even slaughtered for their faith. Faithfulness. Would you like more faithfulness in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Then it's gentleness. Naturally, we're all prone to anger and jealousy. Gentleness is the opposite of aggression and violence. Being gentle, meek, respectful, rather than rough and belligerent. It's not about being a pushover, though. There's a beautiful strength and dignity in gentleness. A quiet confidence in the face of bluster and brutishness. Calming things down rather than stirring them up. Being a voice for peace. And Jesus was no bully, throwing his weight around to get his own way. He was gentle, especially in the way he treated women. He welcomed them, listened to them, served them. He was a true gentleman. He felt safe to be around for those who were vulnerable or weak. Well, think about the Apostle Paul. When he's first introduced in the book of Acts, he's violent, hostile, angry, persecuting the church. But then after he met Jesus, he was a changed man. Even when other people were treating him dreadfully, he kept on with them in gentleness and patience. The gentleness. Would you like more gentleness in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And then finally, self-control. Keeping control of ourselves can be so hard. The Bible talks about the passions and desires of our flesh. Just one more chocolate, just one more drink, just a quick bit of lustful fantasy. And then before we know it, we've fallen again into a mucky pit of sinful self-indulgence. We want to be in control, and yet we keep on giving in. Well, it doesn't need to be like that. There is power to change. Self-control is possible. self-discipline can be developed. We don't just have to lurch from one crisis to another. Our political slogans seem to be all about control. Brexit, take back control. COVID-19, control the virus, save lives. Well, how can we control our own hearts? They're an explosive mix of powerful desires. The thing is, we can't have self-control on our own. No matter how many times we try to turn over a new leaf or set out a new plan, we just can't do it on our own. But God's Holy Spirit can reach the places that we can't. He can get deep down into our hearts and challenge our sinful desires at root. He can put them to death, change us from the inside out. Self-control. Would you like more self-control in your life? It's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a whistle-stop tour through the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a beautiful picture of what the Spirit can do in us. And I wonder, which of those you feel you need the most? Perhaps the Lord was laying one of them on your heart as we looked at them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our lives were producing more and more fruit of the Spirit? If you could see those juicy, beautiful qualities on display for all to see, blessing those around us, bringing glory to God. Well, in a moment, we're going to turn to think about how we can grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Welcome back. So we've taken some time to look through the beautiful, juicy fruit of the Spirit. But how do we get it? How can we see the Spirit's work in our lives grow and deepen? Well, wonderfully, it's all here in the Bible for us. The Holy Spirit was at work in all the Bible writers. That means Paul, who wrote Galatians, he gives us God's reliable message here. It's true and life-changing. So what does the Spirit want to say to us today? How do we get the fruit of the Spirit? Well, there's two things we're going to see in the passage. And the first is this. It's that we belong to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is for people who belong to Christ. The Christian message is often misunderstood. People think it goes like this. Be good, and then God will love you. Or perhaps be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient, all the rest, and then you'll be a Christian. But really, it's the other way around. God says to us something like this. He says, look, whoever you are, whatever you've done, come and belong to Christ. Let him save you. Let him forgive you. Then we can start putting your life right. So first, God saves us. Then he changes us. So important to get that in the right order. I guess it's a bit like the difference between an audition and a doctor's surgery. You go to an audition to show that you're good enough to get the part. You go to a doctor to show that you're ill enough to need help. Jesus is like a doctor. And when we come to him sick with sin, he heals us because of his death on the cross. He takes away our sin and guilt. He welcomes us into our family. We belong to Christ. That's what it says in verse 24. Look down at that with me. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when we come to Jesus, we give him all of our sin. It gets nailed to the cross with him, and it's gone. It's crucified. Our old ways, our flesh, are gone. We're made new. Belonging to Jesus involves letting go of all those old passions. We can't cling on to our old ways and cling on to Jesus. No, we let go of all our old desires. We hand them over to Jesus. And in their place, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. So, do you belong to Christ? Have you handed yourself over to him completely? That's the most important thing any of us could ever do. We'll never get to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, God's personal presence with us, God's transforming power in us, God's glorious gift of eternal life. We'll never get all that unless we belong to Christ. That's the first step in getting to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Belong to Christ. And the second is this. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's there in verse 25. Look down at that with me. It says there, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God's Spirit brings life, both now and forever. Before we belonged to Christ, we were as good as dead. We were driven by our passions and desires. We couldn't please God. And so we faced his judgment. We were as good as dead. But then we came to Christ. We put our trust in him. Our old ways were crucified with him. And we get to share in his resurrection life. He's alive forever. And we get to share that. We're connected to him because his Holy Spirit lives in us. We're alive because the life-giving Spirit dwells in our hearts. Now, God's Spirit is a person. You know this, I'm sure. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. The Spirit is a person. He's a he, not an it. And he lives in us. He helps us. He comforts us. He changes us. So we're called here to keep in step with him. It's like he's walking and he wants us to follow in line, to keep up with him, to head in the same direction as him. Earlier in the passage, it talks about walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. So what does this mean? Well, there are three aspects of the Spirit's work that help us understand this. First, the Holy Spirit is God's long-promised blessing for the world. After Jesus dealt with God's curse on the cross, the door is open for him to pour out his Spirit on his people. So the Spirit connects us with Christ and with Christ's work. He shows us Christ. He brings glory to Christ. So if we're keeping in step with the Spirit, then we'll have our eyes fixed on Christ. That's what the Spirit loves to do, to point us towards Christ. So if you want more of the fruit of the Spirit, let God's Spirit in you point you to Christ, to enjoy him and all he's done, to delight in his saving work, in his beautiful example, in the hope of his return. If we're in step with the Spirit, then our lives will be focused on Jesus. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us the Bible. That's where we meet Christ, in the pages of Scripture. So if we want to know what God's saying to us, then we need to look no further than the Bible. If we want to be led by the Spirit, then we'll want to pay close attention to the words he's given us here. If we're in step with the Spirit, then our lives will be directed by God's Spirit-inspired word, the Bible. And then finally, the Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. This is his power to change us. When we know just how deeply God loves us, it'll change us from the inside out. What is it that will take away our love of sin? It's encountering a greater love, the love of God. We'll bear the fruit of the Spirit as God transforms us by his love. And it's the Spirit, as he points us to Christ, as he speaks to us through the pages of the Bible, who's at work. It might not feel dramatic or earth-shattering, but it really is. He's taking people who used to love ourselves. We used to love sin. We used to follow all our own passions and desires, and he's changing us so that we're full of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is a miracle. Now, of course, fruit takes time to develop and ripen. And it feels like war a lot of the time. Our old ways keep on calling us back, and the Spirit leads us on, and we feel like we're being dragged in two different directions. Our hearts are a war zone, a battle zone. But here's the reassuring thing about this conflict. Dead people don't fight. Dead people just go with the flow. But when the Spirit brings life, that's when the fight really starts. So if we find ourselves struggling, wrestling, battling with sin, that's a sign of life, a sign of the Spirit's work. It's what it feels like. It's what happens as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we let him point us to Christ, speak to us through the Bible, and fill us with God's love. So keep in step with the Spirit. That's how we get the fruit of the Spirit. Belong to Christ, keep in step with the Spirit. So I wonder, this Pentecost, how do you want the Spirit to be growing fruit in your life?